Part one. Things are not in a good place. Chapter one, or part one, was a story of disappointment, a story of death, and a story of loss. The end of chapter one, Naomi says, God has left me. I'm on my own. I'm empty. I've been abandoned by the God who said that he was faithful. But skip forward to the end of chapter 2, which was our passage for today. We've got Naomi praising the Lord. So during chapter 2, there's been a complete change around. Things have turned around. They've turned the corner. But what's changed? The change is that Ruth and Naomi have experienced the kindness of God. Ruth and Naomi have experienced the kindness of God. When they arrived back in Bethlehem, two more desolate and outcast figures you could not imagine. Naomi, slightly older, widowed, both sons dead. At her age, no chance of getting work or income or food. As for Ruth, she is a Moabitess. She is from Moab. And all good Jews would have known that the book of Deuteronomy said to them, no Moabite can enter the temple of God. And not only no Moabite, but no Moabite for 10 generations. So outcast, so rejected were the people of Moab. And not only that, the book of Judges tells us that for the last 18 years, the Moabites have been attacking and pillaging the land of Israel. So they would have been hated and resented. And here is this Moabitess, Ruth, who has turned up on their doorsteps. Widowed, barren, she'd been married for 10 years and never had a child. Both of those causes for shame and destitution. Serious enough in their own country, but in a foreign land, well, Ruth is in a very, very vulnerable position indeed. Except for the fact that she has thrown herself on the goodness and the kindness of God. Back in verse 16, Ruth said to Naomi, I am going to throw myself on your God. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. And Ruth, in her desolation, has thrown herself on him, and God shows himself to be kind. Now, I don't know about you, but to me, kindness is a bit of a wimpy word these days. It's a bit gutless. It's a bit sort of, oh, you're looking very nice today. Oh, thank you. How very kind. You know, it's sort of it's a nice thing to be done. Like sort of leaving the last biscuit on a plate. It's being kind for somebody else. But not so in the Bible, because in the Bible, kindness is gutsy. It's tenacious. It is one of those things that never gives up, that goes on and on and on. In Psalm 63, verse 3, the psalmist says to God, your loving kindness is better than life. So the kindness of God that Ruth throws upon herself upon is a wonderful, wonderful kindness. And God shows his kindness to her in two ways in this chapter. First of all, he shows her his kindness by putting in place laws to protect people like Ruth. Back in Leviticus 19, Leviticus 23, and then in Deuteronomy 24, three times, God says to his people, when you're harvesting, don't harvest the grain right to the edge of the field. Don't, even though it's legally yours and even though you could, don't harvest right to the edge, but instead leave something for those who are poor, those who are widowed, and those who are from a foreign land. People just like Ruth. But although it was in the law, Judges 25 tells us, one of the saddest verses in the whole Bible, it says to us at the end of Judges, at that time there was no king and everybody did what they saw fit in their own heart. They just did their own thing. And so it was a time of great lawlessness and godlessness. And so when Ruth turns up in Bethlehem, back to the land of Israel, she can't guarantee that the fields that she'll be going into will be belonging to people who are following God's ways. So she turns up not knowing this field, who owns it, and whether there is going to be something for her to eat around the edge of the field. But God shows her further kindness, because this field belongs to Boaz. Boaz. The relative they didn't know they had. A kind and honorable man. And he tells her not to go to any other fields. He tells the rest of the workers to look after Ruth while she's in the fields gathering around the edges. And in verse 13, she says to Boaz, "You have comforted me and spoken to me kindly." He then goes on and invites her to lunch, and she eats her fill and has so much that she has some to take home. I wonder when the last time she'd had a meal like that. And then he instructs his reapers to not only leave a nice margin of grains around the edge of the field, but also to let Ruth come into the middle of the field. And then he says, well, actually take your sheaves of barley that you are gathering and recklessly pull it out. The stuff that you've sort of been carefully gathering up, throw it around so she's got even more to gather. And it says that at the end of the day, once she'd done whatever she needed to do to her barley, she went home with 22 liters. So 7 sort of Coke bottles, big Coke bottles of barley. And that was just the first day of the harvest. There's 7 more weeks to come. It's no wonder that at the end of that chapter 2, when Ruth goes home to Naomi, she says, "Praise the Lord, because he has shown us his kindness. We came to Israel desolate, hungry, dejected, and we have enough food. We came with nothing, and Ruth, you've staggered home with more than you can carry." And this image of God's kindness, his extravagant, fulsome kindness, is a theme that runs through the whole Bible. Think about Jesus at the wedding of Cana, where he provided the very best wine for the wedding guests, 120 liters of it. Think of the feeding of the 5,000, where as they sat on the hillside, they had so much to eat that there was 12 baskets left over at the end. Think about the parable of the workers, who, although they only rocked up after lunch and did a measly 2 or 3 hours' work, they went home with a full day's wage. What kindness. In his economy, God is extravagant. He doesn't just give a few scraps around the edges, but he provides overwhelmingly, wonderfully for his people. What about you? Where do you see yourselves in this story in chapter 2? Where do you put yourself? Who do you relate to? Do you relate to Boaz, the wonderful, sort of munificent landowner, directing, organizing? Do you see yourselves one of the workers, busily gathering? Or do you see yourself as Ruth at the edge of the field, hungry, in need, and unable to earn it on your own? Now, I know that we all feel like Ruth sometimes. There are times of desperation in life when we are absolutely in need and we cannot do things on our own. But aren't I right in saying that probably mostly when the crisis has passed, when things are back to normal, we like to think that we work hard, that we plant our own, we harvest our own, that we have stuff because we deserved it. And I wonder if it's also the same with our salvation, that when we think and sing about all the wonderful things that God has done for us and given us, I have to admit that there is a part of me that thinks I deserve it, that I earned it, that there is a good part of me that really rather, you know, that it's kind of natural that I should get all these wonderful things from God. Sometimes I turn to 1 Corinthians 13, and it's a passage you will all know well. Do you know the one often read at weddings? Love is patient, love is kind, love is not rude, it does not boast, it's not envious, doesn't keep a record of wrongs. You know the passage. And sometimes I, on that passage, and instead of saying love is patient, love is kind, I say God is patient, God is kind. And it's a wonderful way of just remembering how kind God is. And sometimes I then take a very brave step. Instead of saying God is patient, God is kind, I read it to myself and I say Ruth is patient. Ruth is kind. Ruth is not envious. She's not boastful. She's not arrogant. She's not rude. And I can't get to the end of the passage, because I know, even according to my own standards, that that's not true. That at best, often my kindness is mixed in its motives. Often it only goes so deep. And those are just by my own standards. Imagine by the standards of a perfect, white, hot, pure God. Because the truth is that the Bible says that when it comes to reality, we are all like Ruth. That we are all standing at the edge of the field in need of God's kindness because we can't do it on our own. Titus 3:3 says, "For we were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, passing our days in malice and envy, but when the goodness and kindness of our God appeared, he saved us. And not because any works that we did or our own righteousness, but according to his mercy." So we are all like Ruth, in need of his kindness. And we can only receive him and engage with him fully if we engage with him at that point of need. Because all we have is nothing, and all we need is need. All we have is nothing. Just like Ruth, she came to that field with nothing. And all we need is need. We are dependent on God's kindness. If, like Ruth, we throw our lot in with God, he will show us his kindness, grace after grace, extravagance after extravagance. He invites us to a feast, not just a few bits around the edge, but a wonderful feast, and sends us away with more than we can carry. We are people made in the image of God. And we also are made to carry this kindness. Kindness that extends to those we find difficult. Extends to those that we struggle with. Extends to those that we'd rather not show kindness to. Kindness goes beyond what's the bare minimum. Kindness that notices those at the edge of the field. Have a think about the week that you face ahead. The people that you will be interacting with, talking with, living with. How can you be the image bearer of God's kindness as you go? And if you ever find yourself thinking that they haven't quite said thank you in the way that you might hope in response to your kindness, or if you find yourself thinking or counting up the number of kind things that you've done and haven't been reciprocated, or if you find yourself feeling a bit resentful, then sorry, that's not kindness, that's a transaction, because you wanted something in return. And when that happens, we need to stop and reset and throw ourselves once again on the kindness of God, which was undeserved, which came at such a cost, and yet cost us nothing. Let's pray.